Hi, I'm Brooke Taylor, the pastor of Missio Church. We exist to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without having to come or go anywhere. Thank you so much for listening to our sermon series through the Old Testament book of Job. We are so excited about what God is teaching us about Himself, about our suffering, and about Jesus Christ through His Word. It is the prayer of the elders of Missio Church that listening to this sermon would help transform you into the image of Jesus Christ and deepen your relationship with Him. We desire that this sermon would be a supplement to your regular engagement with a local church and would not in any way replace you gathering with that church and submitting to the leaders that God has put over your life. If the elders of Missio Church can be of any assistance to you, you can contact us through our website, www.missiochurch.faith. You can also email us at admin@missiochurch.faith or by calling us 631-241-2136. If you are not a part of a local church, you can gather with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 70 Smith Road in Ridge, New York. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? I trust you all. Well, as Pastor mentioned, we are currently in between a teaching series. We just finished the book of Job, and next week we're going to kick off our series in the book of John. So this week, I'm going to take the opportunity to share about something that God has laid on my heart through the years. My name is Tom Polis, and I'm one of the leaders here at Missio. And today's message is really a topical message, as opposed to like a verse-by-verse exposition of any passage in Scripture. So I'm going to be using multiple verses from multiple books in the Bible as we go along. And hopefully they're going to be displayed on the screen behind me. All right. Throughout my Christian journey, I've seen how God reveals Himself to me in everyday life. And today, I hope to pass along some of those truths and insights to you. And my goal will be not only to share them with you, but to encourage you to look for and see how God is alive and real and willing to reveal Himself to you in your life as well. It really is a tremendous blessing when you think about it, to be given eyes to see how He is all around us and actively revealing Himself to us, not only in the Word of God, but in the world He has created and the laws that govern them. Well, for some 41 plus years, I've worked in the power industry. And my line of work was really centered on the production of electricity. When you flip on a light switch or plug in an appliance, I was one of the many people responsible for producing the electricity that flows through the wires. Many of you have never seen the likes of a power station. There you go. Now this, what you see here is a simplified one-line diagram of a power generating station, similar to the one I worked in. It illustrates the processes involved as we convert potential energy to heat energy, to mechanical energy, and ultimately to electrical energy. Now, in this diagram, I'll quickly do a quick synopsis of it, but on the left-hand side, you see what is really an oil barge. The station I worked at, Northport Power Station, located on the north shore of Long Island, it is the largest dual-fuel, fossil-fueled power station in the Northeast. There's four units, 400 megawatts each, putting out a total of 1,600 megawatts of power. That's the capacity every single day of the year. Now, we had an offshore oil platform, 2 miles located into the Long Island Sound, and the oil would be unloaded, piped underground, and come up on the property where it'd be stored in the large storage tanks. That oil would be heated and then pumped into the boiler. It would be atomized and mixed with outside ambient air. The furnace within the boiler would get up to 2,000 degrees, and the purpose is to boil water. I'm putting it very simply, but the water would be boiled, turned into saturated steam, then steam would come down at well over 1,000 degrees and about 2,700 pounds per square inch. Very high energy. It would then go to turbines. Start with a high-pressure turbine, then pass through an intermediate to low pressure. The idea is a turbine is essentially, if you can picture a windmill, and blowing on a windmill and it would spin around, this high-energy steam would go through these turbines, which are precision-made machines, to spin that shaft. The shaft would spin at 3,600 revolutions per minute, and at the tail end of it was a generator. The generator is what produced the electricity. That then would go to a transformer and ultimately into the transmission lines that head through Long Island. I bring this up again because most of the time people have no clue what really is involved. Multiple times, and we're going to read about that in the book of John. And in so doing, he's displaying his healing power. Throughout history, God has defeated his enemies, the enemies of Israel, and also the enemies in our own personal lives with conquering power. God judges his enemies and will one day soon judge the world with judicial power. And we have also learned and take great comfort in knowing that God is sovereign and sits on his throne in heaven with ruling power. So, with this as our foundation, I seek to point out that in the same way electric power is generated and then flows through the main transformer at a power station and then flows through the power lines and into the homes of families, God, who is the source of all power, God sends his power into the Christian's life by first transforming us when he saves us. But it doesn't stop there. That power is then, by design, supposed to flow through us and throughout the places where we live, throughout Long Island, into neighborhoods, our communities, and then into local homes where it is meant to change the lives of the individuals that live in them. So my first point this morning, I'm going to talk about how God shows us the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So here we see that the power of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the powerful way God has chosen by design to enter our lives, transform our lives, and then be passed through us to transform the lives of all those he has providentially plugged us into. And what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, listen to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, and here it is, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So contained within the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the power to save a soul from eternal destruction. By declaring that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has taken the sins of all those who would believe in him, of all those who would confess and repent of their sins and receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. See, Jesus paid the price for our sins so we didn't have to. And there is power in his finished work on the cross. Power to save, power to redeem. Amen? Amen. And yes, there's more. He has connected us to the power source of his saving grace. And he has chosen to now use us to deliver the power of this message to the world, to those people that he has providentially placed in our lives. His power transformed us into one of his children. And now it flows through us in the power of his word, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in you, if you are a believer. And by his design, it has been given to you to pass through you so that the light in you shines into the world of darkness around you. Now, what I find interesting is that throughout my Christian life, there have been times where I have experienced power outages. There have been storms in my life that have caused the power to seemingly go out in my personal life. And when I tried to troubleshoot the problem, what I have found is that somehow I became disconnected from the source. Now, the source of the power is always up and running. Every major storm that ever hit Long Island, our generators kept going. They were spinning. We couldn't get the power to you. So the source of the power is always up and running. The problem is that, for me, was I became disconnected from the power source. The source is there, but sometimes something is interrupting or breaking the connection to the power source, which then leads me to my next point, which is the power of prayer. For those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, there's this thing called prayer that brings all the power of God himself down to where we can use it to change our everyday lives. Prayer is your spiritual wires. And it's possible that your spiritual wires have gotten damaged or disconnected in the storm that you've been going through. There is this vivid picture of both the powerlessness and power in Mark 5, beginning in verse 24. The Bible says, "And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him," him being Jesus. "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." Now, this woman had tried all of the earth's solutions, let's call them, that she could think of, but the need was much too great for anyone on earth to be able to meet. She had thrown money at the problem, but nothing happened. She went to all the human experts, but again, nothing happened. But as the Bible continues in verse 27, it says, "She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease." See, only one thing brought a solution: desperately reaching for Jesus, believing that his authority and his power were greater than her massive need. And that's going to be the only place you're going to find a solution: by getting back to the one weapon that can prevail in your battle, coming in desperate faith to your all-powerful Lord, waging war in prayer. Maybe you've been trying everything within your power to find a solution, but it was apart from God. And you've overlooked the fervent, frequent, faith-filled prayer. See, we don't need a planning meeting. We need a prayer meeting. We don't need a program. We need to pray. We don't need a fundraising strategy or a new methodology or some human expert. Now, God might use those things in our lives, but what we really need is to pray like we've never prayed before, believing God for something, perhaps so big that only God can bring it. Maybe you've been so overwhelmed with your situation that maybe you've neglected the only power source that can possibly change things, releasing the power of Almighty God through intense and intensive prayer. The storm isn't the reason you don't have the power you need. It's the wire connection of prayer that brings God's power down to where you live, where your need is. So we have to get our downed wires back up and connected. And once we do, we'll have all the power we need. Now, how does the world see power? Well, one of the most famous offices in the world, the Oval Office of the President of the United States, is typically seen as a place of power. We've just been through a presidential election cycle. Every 4 years, two people fight it out, the voters, to be the one who gets to occupy that room from which a lot of the world-changing decisions are made. And with the president comes a supporting cast of people like a chief of staff, political director, a national security advisor, and so on and so forth. You know, the greatest perk at the White House has little to do with how nice an office you have or how much money you make. It's all about your proximity to the president's office. And more importantly, what kind of access you have to the president. Some of the president's staff see him barely at all. Some see him occasionally. But there are a trusted few who are in and out of the Oval Office several times a day. Given the weight of what goes on in that room, those are some of the most privileged and powerful people in this land. Well, prayer gives access to all of us to the most powerful office in the world. Power has to do with who has regular access to the place where things are decided, to the person who makes the decisions. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you have that access. You have that power to enter in at any time, day or night. The place where everything on earth is decided, the throne room of Almighty God. In fact, Scripture invites us. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. And in Hebrews 10:19, it says, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus Christ, by what he has accomplished on the cross. At any given moment in your life, when you're facing some things that are beyond your ability to figure out or to fix or to change, it can be something medical or financial or emotional or marital, a situation or a person you can't change. Maybe it's a mountain that you just can't move, a challenge you can't meet. Where will the outcome be decided and who will decide it? For you, as a child of God, it will be decided in the throne room of the one who rules billions of galaxies and by the one who is your Father, which means your primary method of getting anything done must be done on your knees in prayer. The Bible is filled with examples of the difference that prayer makes. In the book of Isaiah, we find that King Hezekiah is facing an ultimatum from the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army has just rolled like a juggernaut through the Middle East, crushing every king and kingdom in its path. The king of Assyria has his eyes set on Jerusalem, and he demands Hezekiah's surrender with the following message in Isaiah 36, verse 18. Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And the honest answer was simply no. The Assyrian army was undefeated at that point in time. Now, according to Isaiah 37, verses 14 through 16, here's what King Hezekiah did with that demand to surrender. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it. That's the demand to surrender. He spread it before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. See, he prayed. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. And Hezekiah went on to plead with God for deliverance. And that very night, the angel of the Lord came and slew 185,000 Assyrians. So devastating was the defeat, the king of Assyria returned home beaten by God. That divine throne room, where the outcome of Hezekiah's battle was decided, is the same place your battle will be decided. Life's battles are won by prayer. Not on the battlefield itself, but in the throne room of the God who governs the galaxies. And because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, you have access, again, day or night, to the place where it's all decided and to the person who decides it. So go there often. Go there in awe. Go there clean, with sins confessed and repented of. And go there knowing God hears you and he will answer according to his perfect will. I want to also mention intercessory prayer. Have you ever entered into the throne room of God on behalf of others? Is there a specific need, or is there a dear loved one who doesn't know Christ as their Savior? Someone who perhaps refuses to believe that there is even a God in heaven? A God who cares about them? Perhaps they've been a victim of the propaganda pushed through the school systems and colleges. Well, personally speaking, there's nothing more painful, nothing more heartbreaking than when a parent has a child who has turned his or her back on God. So, excuse me. Let me encourage you to keep praying and believing in the power of prayer. Don't stop praying for them. As God takes our feeble prayers and makes them right, bringing them to Jesus, Jesus takes our prayers and brings them before our Heavenly Father. Remember to pray in faith, believing with confidence that God hears our prayer and he will answer them. There is power in prayer. Take courage and cast all your cares upon him, knowing that he cares for you. Well, that's going to bring me to our next point, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 3, we read of an encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. We learn of the second birth and that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Or in other words, except a man be born again, he cannot have the power to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was confused and asked, how can this be? And in verses 5 through 6, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. When we become a child of God, we must recognize that first, it is because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And then we must also recognize that something quite miraculous has happened, something perhaps too great for our minds to comprehend, and that is that the Holy Spirit of God now actually lives within every true believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, we read, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. As children of God, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. This means that the third person of the Holy Trinity has now come to live within us. We are, by God's glorious and gracious design, now plugged into the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And we are directed to no longer live for ourselves, but to live unto God, who bought and paid for us so that we may glorify him with our life. Now, this begs to ask the question, just how do we do that? But before I answer that, let us consider that you cannot see electricity, just like you can't see God. If you ever worked on an electric circuit in the home and forgot to shut off the power, you will not visibly see that the circuit is energized. But the second you make contact, you'll feel the effects of it. Once you make contact, you'll feel the motion of electrons flow right through your body. and I speak from experience. You will be jolted, and everyone around you will know that you've been jolted. Well, in a real way, when God, the Holy Spirit, fills you, you become filled with the power of God. You are filled with the power and potential to shock the world around you. When the Holy Spirit is at work in you, you will be changed and be filled with the power to make a difference in the world around you. So when you are plugged into the Holy Spirit, God will slowly change you from the inside out as He sanctifies you. And although the world around you can't see the Holy Spirit, they will be able to see the effects of the Holy Spirit in your life. Just like you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the winds on the tree around you. You can't see the electricity, but when you flick on the light switch, you can see the light come on. You see the effects of it. Likewise, God will use you to positively affect others. So to answer the question of just how are we to no longer live for ourselves, but to live unto God, well, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be living unto God. And as a result, you will have an effect on the lives of others. How? Because they will either receive it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then upon receiving the truth by faith, the light will come on, and their lives will be forever changed. Now, on the other hand, if they reject it, to their sorrow, no light will come on, and they will remain in darkness. If they reject it, don't you get turned off, but rather be encouraged. As our Lord said, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Luke chapter 6, 22 through 23. See, we are merely commanded to point them to the light. Leave the rest to God. So when you live for Christ, your life becomes a living testimony to the world around you. You become a light to a dark, lost, and dying world. And that leads me to our next point, the power of your testimony. In John 4, verse 39, we learn about how most of an entire Samaritan village came to faith in Jesus. Jesus had met this one Samaritan woman outside the village of Sychar. And he shared eternal life with her. And there we read, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't reach this village by just going out and starting to preach to the people of the village? Instead, he shared with one person who knew the folks in the town. She was one of the folks in the village. Her life was touched. She went back and told about Jesus, and that generated a lot of interest. It sparked a village revival, which just serves to remind us that the most powerful witness for Christ may be not a crusade or a radio program or a TV program or a concert. It's the testimony of one changed life. Think about it. We see lots of commercials with professional pitchmen selling their product, and we have pretty much become immune to the salesman. But when someone you know tells you that perhaps I love that car or that pill just relieved my pain, that kind of gets through. The same is true with reaching the people for Jesus. Many lost people are honestly immune to what they perceive as professional spiritual salesmen. Meanwhile, many believers, everyday believers, are thinking, if only I can get this lost person that I know to my church to hear my pastor, or watch this Christian show, or come to this outreach event, or hear this Christian celebrity, then they'll hear the truth and be saved. And that may be true, but there's something much more powerful than that, something that can't be overlooked. And that's seeing your changed life and hearing you attribute that difference to Christ. See, you're from their village. You walk in their world. They know you. you are closer to them than any preacher is. You might say, yeah, but someone trained or more gifted than me can explain it much better. Well, sure. A doctor or a pharmacist can explain how a medicine works much better than your friend can. But you know what? I'll ask for that medicine maybe just because my friend told me it helped them. See, there's power in your testimony. Some of the brightest minds are actually the worst witnesses. Now, there's nothing wrong with intellect, but Jesus did not call you to be a lawyer. He called you to be a witness. A lawyer argues a case. A witness tells what he has seen and what he has heard. Do you know why people, or some people, don't witness? Because they haven't seen or heard anything. But a Christian who has had an experience with Christ is automatically qualified to be a witness. He or she can't help but witness, as a matter of fact. You don't have to have all the answers either. You might say, if I go out and start to witness, somebody may ask me a question that I just don't know the answer to. Well, don't worry about it. You can answer any question with the words, I don't know. Listen, when you stop pretending you know things you don't know, people will start believing when you tell them things that you do know. That's what makes a witness, and that's what a witness does. You simply give them just the facts, what you have seen and what you have heard him do in your life. Do you remember the story when Jesus healed the blind man? When he was questioned by the Pharisees, the blind man simply replied to them, in essence, I don't know, but one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. See, it's just the facts. Just the facts. And then stand back and see how God will use your testimony. There was power in the blind man's testimony, and there's power in your testimony. We were all blind, but now we all see. We were all dead, but now we are alive. Don't depend on that person you care about being reached by some professional. It's up to you. You live where they live. You feel what they feel. Jesus is sending you to them, not because you can present it better, but because you're part of their life. You are in a better position to share Christ with them than the best professional salesman there is. There is power in your testimony. And your testimony will display the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a very personal way that only you can share it, with emotion and a passion that comes from a personal, intimate encounter with the Lord. So as I begin to close here, I want to just mention, I began by mentioning that I spent 41 plus years in a power generating station, generating the electricity that we all use each and every day. And as a result, I have a very good understanding of what it takes to create energy and send it down the lines and into your homes and make it available to you. Now, I can also honestly say that the average everyday person has no clue. When they go into a room and flick on a light switch and turn on a light, or plug in an appliance into a wall outlet, or go into the den and turn on a TV, turn on a computer, a washing machine, or any other electrical device in their home, they have very little to no understanding, for that matter, no appreciation for just what it takes to create and get you that power. What it takes to make those devices come on and perform the tasks that they were designed for. They simply take it for granted because, for the most part, it's so reliable and it's so dependable until one day it's not there. Well, we can become a lot like that when it comes to God. Whether we are Christians or not, we all experience the common grace of God. We all enjoy a warm sunrise, the beautiful world around us, birds singing, a beautiful picturesque mountainscape, the salt air on a Long Island beach, a colorful sunset. We can experience the love of a family, meals together, spending holidays with loved ones and friends, etc., until one day it's not there. It's gone. The Bible tells us that one day suddenly it will all be gone. Our life is like a vapor, here invisible one moment and gone the next. We may be blessed to live a long life, but even a long life will come to an end one day. I'm sure you've heard this before, but any one of us can walk out of this worship service this morning, and either us or a loved one could get hit by a car, and suddenly they're gone. Or in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord returns just as he said he would, and we are taken away. The question then becomes, are you plugged into God? Do you know God? Do you know God as your personal Lord and Savior? Will you be taken away one day in the rapture, or will you be left behind? In order to have a better understanding or appreciation for the power industry and the power of electricity, you have to study, you have to learn, you have to become more familiar with it. And in the same way, when we consider that God is the power source for our life, and then we spend time in His Word to learn about just who He is, a holy and powerful, almighty God, and who we are, unholy, powerless, lost and dying sinners, we will be humbled and thereby grow in our understanding of our need for Him and grow in appreciation and adoration for Him. For just who He is and what He has done for us through the sacrificial offering of His Son in order to redeem and reconcile us to Himself. It is then and only then that we can get transformed, regenerated, or plugged in, connected to Him through prayer, crying out to Him for forgiveness, to repent. Then and only then will you experience the power of God in your life with the purpose of going forth emboldened and empowered to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. See, there is power in the blood of Jesus. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And He went to the cross to suffer and to die and to be buried to do just that. And when you become regenerated, His precious blood washes you clean of all your sin and makes you white as snow. Because on that cross, He took your sins and endured the wrath of God in your place and then imputed His righteousness to you. He took the penalty that you deserved and gave you His righteousness, which you didn't deserve. And there's also power in the name of Jesus. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. See, we live in a world where we're told there are many paths to heaven. We're told there are many paths to God, that we all worship the same God, but no, that simply is not true. There is only one path to the Father, and Jesus has provided that way because He and He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that all power and authority had been given unto Him, and then He told His disciples, and I give it unto you. You're His disciple, and He has given it unto you. See, too many of us don't understand that with the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, we have access to the very power of God to conquer sin, to cast out demons, and to live a victorious life for Jesus, and therefore to be a powerful light in this world. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we are told today is the day of salvation, and to cry out to Him today while He may be found. And if you are a Christian, will you plug into His power today? So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you let the light of Jesus Christ shine in you and through you to touch the lost and dying world around you. You know, there's a formula for power. The formula is well known as P equals I squared R, where P is the power, I is the current, and R is the resistance. Total power is the product of current or the flow of electrons and the amount of resistance in the circuit. Therefore, the amount of God's power that you have in your life is directly affected by the resistance to the Holy Spirit freely flowing in you and through you. Are you resisting the Holy Spirit's influence in your life? Are you fighting Him? Are you being resistant or unsubmissive to His will in your life? The time is really now to stop resisting and let the Holy Spirit of God flow through you, and then you will see the power of God in your life. He has great plans for you, but you have to stop resisting him. And when you do, as the world around us grows darker and darker, the power of God in you will allow you to shine brighter and brighter. See, God's power never runs out. There are no spiritual hurricanes that can ever shut down the generation of God's almighty power. It has been given and is accessible to you. Keep connected through prayer and go and let your light shine for God today. And finally, always remember, during the plagues in Egypt, when darkness fell in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. Amen?